Hey, I'm wired now. Y'all look out. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody come this way. Continue praying for all of our sick folks and people that can't get here anymore. Keep remembering them in your prayer. I tell you what, it's a privilege to stand here this morning as your pastor. And as I walked up across the parking lot this morning, I felt the anointing power of the Holy Spirit just all over me, I'm talking about. And, you know, to be here as a pastor and be filled with hope. You know, I've talked to a lot of pastors lately and they seem to have no hope, but I'm filled with hope this morning. And I believe I've got a word for you. I believe I've got a word for you. Several things I want to look at this morning. I'm going to talk about a pathway that'll get you to heaven and an easier pathway getting there. You know, that's a big thing in this day and time. A lot of us going to heaven, we just want an easier way to get there. We'll talk a little bit about the law, and we'll talk a little bit about grace. If you will, turn with me in Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 3. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, if you'll turn there with me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 8. Grace be unto you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, I read this a few days ago, and I began thinking about this situation, you know, when it talks about preaching any other gospel except Jesus. What did they preach? They preached grace through Jesus Christ. That's what they were preaching. And I thought a lot of times about this, and I'm going to tell you, I'd a lot rather be blessed of God this morning than accursed by him. And so I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, Son of God, crucified for your sins. And so when we start talking and looking at these things, and I spend a lot of time, you know, people talk to me and they say, preacher, what do you think about this? Or preacher, what do you think about that? And you know, most of the times when they ask me, they know it's wrong before they say it. They just want somebody to agree with them. And I, you know, this morning, I don't want to spend a lot of time on telling you what to do or what not to do. I want to spend a little time on what you believe. Because I'm convinced by the Word of God that if you believe right, you will do right. Amen? And so let's work on belief this morning. When it starts talking about telling you what to do and how to live and all these things, you know, we had the law, and it was given by God to Moses, wrote by the finger of God. It wasn't the law of Moses. It was the law of God given to Moses. And we start talking about these things, but today I don't have to be concerned so much with that. If you think about it and understand Hebrews 10 and 16, it was very plain. He said, this is a covenant that I will make with them, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart and in their mind I will write them. And so I don't have to tell you right and wrong this morning. You know it. God's already put it in your heart. God's put it in your mind. And you know right and wrong. And if you believe right, you'll try to do the right thing. I want to talk about law and grace a little bit this morning. Let's look at the law first. If you'll look with me, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, I want to make this very plain about the law. You know, there's people that say, well, I live by the law and I'm going to die by the law and they'll be lost. Amen. According to the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, when we start talking about the law, it was given that men might be convicted of sin, that they might know right from wrong. And it's the law that God gave to Moses, and he said, you take that down. The law had a big problem in that it could tell you what's wrong, but it couldn't fix it. According to this scripture I just read, the law couldn't fix it. It said there's no flesh would be justified by the law. And so the law can tell you what's wrong, but it can't fix it. Let's look a little bit farther on it. in Galatians 3, chapter 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Now I want to stop right there. It said, is the law then against the promises of God? It said, God forbid. I want you to understand there was a season for law. Law had a season, and now we're in the season of grace. Amen. The law's not taken away. Its season is past, but the law's still there, that it convicts us and helps us know right from wrong. But now God writes it in our hearts and writes it in our minds that we don't have to worry about running back and reading the thou shalt nots. This is not so much this morning about thou shalt not as thou shalt believe. Amen. We need to believe. If you believe right, you'll live right. Won't have to worry about it. In verse 21, it goes farther. It said, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So we start looking back to law and we see it described as a schoolmaster. And we know schoolmasters taught. They taught children. They taught older people. That was their job. That was their responsibility as a schoolmaster. But it said we're no longer under a schoolmaster. I see the law a lot of times like a mirror. I don't know if y'all ever thought about this or not, but I've thought about it. I get up in the mornings and I look in the mirror. And if I got a hair out of place, or if you've got your makeup smudged, I don't wear it. The mirror tells you what's wrong, but it don't fix it. You think about it. Tell me you get up the hair out of place in the mirror. That mirror don't reach out and put it in place. The mirror don't reach out and fix that smudge in your makeup. The law can't do that. The mirror can't do that. But it tells you what's wrong that you might fix it. That's the only problem the law I've got. Praise God. It don't fix it. It don't even tell you how to fix it. Just as that mirror don't reach out and smooth down that hair, the law don't fix it. It just tells you what's wrong. Schoolmaster and a mirror had their season. Amen. Now let's talk about law and grace. And under the law, there had to be a sacrifice made. Under grace, there had to be a sacrifice made. Amen. There was sacrifice under the law. There was a sacrifice under grace. And let's talk about law and grace and their sacrifices. If you will, turn with me. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's talk about a sacrifice. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'll start probably in about verse 30, somewhere in that order. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. I'll let you find it. First Kings chapter 18, verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the same name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the fire, and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it in the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water run around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it come to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that all I have done, all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned the heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Now, this was a great sacrifice, great big thing, you know, made by Elijah. And I want you to notice what God did with it. It said God consumed it. Amen? When something's consumed, it is no more. And so God consumed this sacrifice made under the law. And I'm going to tell you, all the blood of bulls and goats and doves and all things were consumed by God under the law. And so that left the people, all right, God's consumed it, so they have to do it again and again and again. On a routine basis, they had to re-sacrifice and do things over and over and over again. And so through that, we know that there was a continual basis of sacrifice made, and the children were just rolling their sins forward. Rolled them forward. Year after year. Another sacrifice, because God consumed those sacrifices under the law. A lot of people confuse that. Those sacrifices were gone. They were consumed by God. Let's look back now. Sacrifice made by grace. Let's talk about this just a little bit. These sacrifices under grace, or the sacrifice made under grace. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 16 through 18. Now, when we start talking about the sacrifice of grace, when we start talking about that, sacrifice of grace, he is born of a woman, he is the Son of God, his name is Jesus, he wasn't consumed. This sacrifice was eternal. Forever. You never have to do it again. He'll never hang on the cross another time. He's finished it, but it's not consumed of God. It's still there today at the right hand of the Father. That's the sacrifice of grace that God made. Born of a woman, prepared by God, the Son of God. Died for the sins of the world. Not consumed of God, but still present till this day and time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. When we start talking about freedom, you know, I read a few minutes ago that they were captured under this law. They were in prison. They were bound by this law until the time that Jesus set us free at the cross of Calvary. So when we start talking about a freedom, I'm talking about a freedom to worship and praise and just give all thanks to God for all things that He's done in our lives. I get so blessed sometimes and get to thinking about the blessing from God, I just get to all over. I just want to jump up and down and shout hallelujah. And I want to preach that freedom of the Spirit of God to this church, that you get out from under the law, not be condemned by something you're not responsible for anymore, and live in the Spirit that you might walk in freedom. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom. Amen. I believe that's what this world needs today. We need a freedom. That if we want to raise our hand and worship God, we do it. If we want to clap during the music, we do it. If you just want to always give all thanks to God. Freedom from the Spirit of God. St. John chapter 8. Look at verse 25. Let me find it. St. John chapter 8, verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. They're asking who Jesus is. He said, I'm the same from the beginning. You know, we know Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. He hadn't changed. He said, I'm the same one that was from the beginning. And I start thinking about this Jesus. You know, this is the eternal sacrifice made for you. It said, I have many things to say and to judge you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. I like the thought about the power of God when Jesus recognizes or tells them who he is, and they begin to recognize Jesus. It said many of them were saved. Now, that's preaching will get you to heaven, amen? And so we look on Father, and then he said, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need the truth preached in the United States today. The truth, the word of God. That's the only truth I know. Everybody else be a liar and whatever, but God's word is true. And so we need this truth. And it talks about the truth shall make you free. When you start understanding the truth about the law, you start understanding the truth about the grace of God. I'm telling you, when you find that freedom where you can rejoice and praise God in a way that you're not crusted over by outer man. Let the inner man out. Let him free. And it said, in verse 33, then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. But how sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And so when we start talking about freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about a servant to sin. Amen. That's what he told them. He said, thou, you that commit sin are the servant of sin. They were thinking about bondage to a man. He's talking about bondage to sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Coming in to accept the freedom through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Understanding the law for what it is. It's like a mirror. It'll tell you what's wrong. It won't tell you how to fix it. This tells you how to fix it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal sacrifice prepared for your sins, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. For us, eternal, hadn't went anywhere, hadn't went away, never will, right hand of the Father, that sacrifice is still sitting there made for you this day. John 3:16 puts it pretty plain. It's just very, very plain. If you think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you think about what I've preached to you today. I'm going to tell you something very plain. I've preached enough today to get you to heaven. And I believe I've preached enough today of the Word of God to help you have a better trip getting there. Praise the Lord. Some of us have a rough trip on the way to heaven, you know. We have all these sicknesses. We have all these problems. We have all that comes up on the job and all these things. A lot of people have a hard time on the way to heaven. Well, I want you to not only go to heaven, but I want you to have a better trip getting there. Lean back and enjoy the ride and enjoy the trip for a while. You ever thought about it? Amen. Yeah, trouble and problem. Man born of a woman, a few days and full of trouble. Amen. A few days and full of trouble. Well, a few days, let's make the best out of the rest of them. A few days and full of trouble. Let's make the best out of what we got. We're on our way to heaven. We've believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got the law. It's season. Now, we're in the spirit of grace. Amen. But that don't mean the law's gone away with. It's still like that mirror you look in and tell you when you got something wrong. Got a little hair out of place. Got a little smudge on your makeup. The law won't fix it. But Jesus will. That's the message. Jesus will. Let's sing, Chris. Y'all come up. Glenda, we'll have a verse for song. Anybody needs to fix something in your life, The law's told you what's wrong. You've looked in that mirror and saw there's a fault. You've looked in that mirror and think, well, I need to change that. The mirror won't change it. The law won't change it. But Jesus will change it right here today. Whatever your fault may be, I don't know. It may be you hadn't believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yet. That's the most important thing you do. Or it might be you want that better trip to heaven. Want to take some of the turmoil out of your life. Anybody need to come pray? Y'all come on.